does. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Thank you. There goes HMS Beagle and Charles Darwin, the theory of evolution. That's what we take shots at here. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to this fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted and lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation evolution. Well, some of us take it seriously because these are serious issues, and we want to understand from scripture, from science, the best arguments we can to find the best truth we can.
And we like to have fun along the way.
And we do.
And a few yucks, too, along the way.
Yeah, we hope a few yucks. At least we have them, and we hope you do, too. Well, today, John, we are talking about dinosaurs.
Oh, ooh.
You know.
actually, you know, Stan, yes, when we do these creation evolution seminars, that is probably, if not the number one, it's up in the top two or three number one things that people want to know about.
People want to know about dinosaurs. And, of course, if you go into the great museums of the world today, we always call the museums of today cathedrals to evolution. Always the millions and billions of years being preached there as the origins of all life and certainly dinosaurs. We like to give on Sink the Beagle a little bit of a different view of origins. When we talk about dinosaurs, we think they are indeed part of the biblical record. And
yes, they are.
You know, that they really did happen.
And today we want to look at what they call dinosaurs. Where do they walk last? Where were their last footprints? Where do they exist last from both the scientific and what we would call a creationist perspective?
Mm-hmm. In the 1830s, John, in Connecticut, a pastor by the name of Hitchcock noticed that there were footprints in some of the rock strata near town there, and they looked like bird footprints. And from that time, until they figured out they were dinosaurs, from that time we know that dinosaurs have walked among the living, walked on this planet, and we've seen their footprints in many interesting strata.
All throughout the world.
All throughout the world, and it seems like they're being found more and more all the time. Probably one of the more famous places in the United States, a place that you could all go and take a look at really close, is the Paluxy River Valley area near Keene, Texas, sort of southwest of Fort Worth. And there is a place there where there's a little state park, and you go and walk right down into the creek bed, and you are walking
there you are.
Where dinosaurs walked.
At least on that layer of sediment.
That's right.
Where
perfectly.
You find their footprints,
yes,
and you can measure them and look at them. And I know you were there
splash
at one time.
Splash water out of them and everything. There's nothing quite like this park. You don't see this every day.
Not quite big enough to take a bath in, but.
But you see these, you see the different kinds of dinosaurs. You see especially the three-toed kind. The
theropods?
Pretty good size, maybe a foot long. You know, you think of something as being.
You don't want to have them step on your toe.
No, you wouldn't want to be around where they're walking.
The question is, where's the last place they walked, Stan?
The last place they walked was probably a few blocks down. No, actually,
Montana.
The subject is Montana is where a lot of dinosaurs did walk. And certainly, there's a lot of evidence of dinosaurs in Montana. Montana is a place where the Morrison Formation takes place, and that is sort of like the mother lode of large dinosaurs like T-Rex and so forth. In the geologic column, what we're talking about is especially the Cretaceous layer.
The last of the three layers where you find dinosaur fossils,
that's
basically.
Right. They start just barely dinosaurs in the layers that are buried in the earth. They kind of start at the very top of the Triassic. They spend a lot of time in the Jurassic Park. But really, the mother lode is the Cretaceous area. That's where we see most of the famous, more famous dinosaurs.
Yeah, and so they think it was Montana because a scientist like Keith Rigby of the University of Notre Dame says, you know, he's found a large number of dinosaur teeth in Montana in the sediments.
Oh.
But the interesting thing is that
just teeth.
Okay. They think, though, the interesting thing about these teeth is that they're not as old. He's wrestling with, were these teeth, they seem to be higher up in the geologic column, than you'd expect to find them. And they say, well, maybe dinosaurs walked last a little longer than we think they did.
Well, you know, the common prevailing theory is that almost 65 million years ago, some asteroid or comet or something hit planet Earth and was responsible for causing the extinction of the dinosaurs. And that's why at that layer, that top of the Cretaceous layer, all around the Earth, those are generally understood to be the very last living dinosaurs, and they were destroyed right then. But he found apparently some that are just a little bit higher up in the layer.
And the question was, is did the sediment get reworked? Did somehow some forces of churned up and mixed up through water and the teeth floated up a little bit more?
Yes.
So there's others that think that, but he says, no, they seem to have come from there, and there's some debate there. And the question is where did they last walk? And so we're approaching that. Well, what would a creationist do with that kind of evidence? What would you say? One thing where I'd like to begin, Stan, with that answer, though, is saying, what kind of soil are these teeth and these bones found in?
In all cases, virtually all cases, dinosaurs are found in sedimentary rock.
Which means water-deposited rock.
Almost always means water-deposited. So, yeah, kind of...
Could be wind, but primarily water-deposited.
Flood! A flood, yes. The words that we don't often hear emanating from the science community. We'll forever remember David Menton of Andrews and Answers in Genesis talking about this subject in Anatomist. And bone specialist, and he said, you know, it's funny how the popular views of what took out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, anywhere from an asteroid strike to little mouse-like mammals chewing on the eggs to...
Or up their trunk or whatever.
Yes, or diseases or all these climate changes, all these different things. He said, you know, it's funny. It seems like whenever we find the bones of a dinosaur, it just kind of looks like they drowned.
They drowned. It was kind of like were they looking up and it rained too hard and they got their snoots filled up? Or was it more like... A flood, as we like to say,
flood.
A global capacity which would destroy and actually gather and probably bury them in these mass graves. Because that's the other feature you tend to find, is that you find a large number of bones together in one area.
Yes, kind of dinosaur graveyard, so to speak. You know, John, last summer I had a chance to go participate in a dinosaur dig in eastern Wyoming, and it's considered that the formation that we dug in was considered practically world class for finding all these different bones. I mean, like you literally couldn't dig it was about 18 inches thick in the sediment
without hitting something.
And you couldn't literally put your spade in the ground without hitting something. There were all these bones, and they were mostly from these big Edmontosaurus, which were like duck-bill dinosaurs of maybe 20 feet tall, big guys.
Big guy. You don't want to run into them in a dark alley or something, you know.
They did a calculation of...
Quack,
and these
quack,
are,
you know.
Duck-bills.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Hey, poor dinosaurs. Dead and also dissed. But anyway.
That's what we do here on Sink the Beagle.
That's what we do. These bones were almost all disarticulated, meaning they were separated from the skeleton.
So you don't see a whole skeleton together where you can make out the neck bone, say, to another neck bone, to a shoulder
to the thigh bone,
or...
to the connection to the... They didn't have that going on. Instead, what appears to be the case was these were rolled in from some other area by water, by sediment. It's in mudstone. And this appears to be the very last. It is the top layer of the destruction of dinosaurs.
Find any above it, really, to speak of.
Exactly. And you would think that maybe that's the last place. You know, that's where they were buried by the floodwaters.
Yeah, they're in Wyoming.
Yeah, pretty close to Wyoming. But you know what, John? Scripture's kind of interesting on this. I'd like to read a torpedo.
Yeah, go for it. A torpedo text found from the book of Genesis today. That's the biblical book of beginnings.
Yes.
And it talks about not only our perfect creation, but what happened to that creation in what we know as the flood.
The flood.
What do you have for us?
Genesis 7, and starting in verse 23, it says, So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Now, the question I have is, only those that were in the ark remained alive. I'm wondering, is there any evidence that dinosaurs may have been even on the ark and survived after the flood?
Maybe some species. We're not thinking of the huge species, but like you say, most dinosaur species, about the size of a modern dog or so.
Right.
They're not that huge creature we want to think of. And so possibly there were some, and maybe some didn't survive the post-flood conditions.
Yeah.
And other things that we do know, that there were ancient dinosaurs that were shaped like crocodiles and stuff, and they're basically lizards. So,
well, what about Mokolembe and all of
now we're getting into the iffy part.
Well,
here's the iffy part, and we like to stick with good science. But however, there are legends around the world.
Yes,
Africa, there's Mokolembe. Yes. In the British Isles, there's Loch Ness, Nessie. In Upper State New York, in Lake Champlain, there used to be a critter called Champ. They named him. He almost looks like a superhero of dinosaurs. And now you were just up in British Columbia, and they claim, you talked to a guy, you said it was dead serious. So what do you think? What was the name of it?
And I'm trying to remember, I'm going to get killed. We're going to get emails from Canadians on this. It's something like Ocopoco or something like that. But anyway,
like
some
a rock
kind of
band. A punk rock band. Anyway, go ahead.
Something, a marine reptile that inhabits some of the water up there. And some of them, I had one fellow tell me quite seriously, he had seen it and watched it for 10 minutes. And long neck, head out of the water, and
was
all this
moose?
Kind of stuff. And I don't think it was a moose. At least he didn't think so. I assume Canadians recognize moose when they see them. But, you know, the question that we really have is, where did dinosaurs last walk? And there are these dragon stories. You talked about, you know, the culture, the history and everything. There's dragon stories every part of the planet. There are dragon stories.
And so
memories, apparently, of dinosaurs that were walking around humans.
Yeah, because
other good explanation for this.
Yeah, word for it all, the dracon or stuff, is very, very similar to some of the ancient words that could have been dinosaur.
Yep.
Or at least large type of creature that
large
is not alive today based on the descriptions you see in scripture of them.
Yep. Where was the last place on earth for dinosaurs to walk? Well, I kind of think that that there may have been a few that outlived even the flood. And I'm not sure if we can say that this Dr. Rigby found evidence that they lived 64.5 million years ago instead of 65. I think there may have been some that were walking around a little bit more recently.
Well,
we know
since the flood that you have ideas of mastodons, which no longer walk the earth, and saber-toothed cats.
Right.
And these are fairly large creatures that still have fleshy tissue, not just all bones.
Preserved, right.
Preserved, right. Ice, and we know that they no longer live. They're extinct, and their extinction isn't that long ago. And there's possibly maybe some dinosaurs, too.
Well, the soft tissue we found in that T-Rex, that was found a couple of years ago I believe it was Montana, where they found a T-Rex bone and they broke it apart and there was some soft. Maybe that was the last one walking.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't know, but you know what's interesting, Stan, is that the last one, we think of last things now and think the beagle a little bit. The Bible does talk about a time when there's going to be the last one walking, the last day, the last sentence, the last song, the last whatever it might be, the last dance or whatever, you know. But the whole point is that the Bible speaks of origins, but it also speaks of endings.
That's right.
And this world of sin has an ending, much like the world of the dinosaur had an ending, because it was violent, because it was evil. Mm-hmm. And God's wanting humanity to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we also have the stories of, like, in the last days, there'll be scoffers denying the very ending of dinosaurs, the last days.
Exactly.
And God says, don't be like them. There is a real end. It's going to come, and you can be ready for it. And so we kind of take these ideas, and being a pastor at nature, we like to twist them a little bit and say, where are your last steps going to be?
That's right.
What are your last thoughts going to be? Mm-hmm. And hopefully you, too, will turn those toward the God who made and who can redeem. Tune in again on another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile. from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.